is Ephesians 6 verse 10. It's on the front of your bulletin. It's a short scripture. It's a very powerful scripture. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I'm not sure what picture comes to mind if I say Jesus Christ. I did a Google search, and this was the first page. These are the images that came up for Jesus. For some people, this is the Jesus that we have in our mind's eye. Somebody with a shiny halo thing, or a heart outside of his body, the rather insipid look on his face. Some of those pictures look almost disconnected to me. Maybe a halo kind of guy. For some people, the image that they might have is of the Lamb of God. The Bible speaks about the Lamb of God. And maybe that's a picture that comes to mind. We hear about Jesus being one who is beaten. And maybe that's a picture that comes to mind. Or maybe you have a picture of Jesus on the cross. And these are all pictures that are valid to our experience of Jesus Christ and what we discover in the Word of God. These are all fine pictures. As I was preparing, this one old song came to mind. You might remember this song from a couple of years ago. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Remember that song? Charles Wesley penned it, and it's just the first verse there. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. Well, some people, that might be the image that they have of Jesus Christ. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. You know, how we see Jesus, the image that we have, will determine how we approach Jesus. It will determine how much faith we put in Jesus. It will determine where we're willing to take Jesus and how much we're willing to place in His hands. And so I want to give you another picture this morning that I haven't put up on the screen. I've just been reading this book by John Eldridge, Wild at Heart. It speaks about discovering a man's heart. And in it, he shares a story about William Wallace. The movie Braveheart was about William Wallace. You might have seen it. You might be Scottish, so that's ringing true in your blood. You might have seen the movie, pictures of these guys with their faces painted. Well, you know, the British had, or the English, I don't know. Sorry, buddy. The blokes from down south had caused trouble with the Scottish. They had them enslaved. The nobles of Scotland were colluding with the nobles of England, and there was a place where William Wallace just said, no more. No more. We want to be free. And in the movie, there's the very dramatic pictures of the battle that takes place. The battle that turned the tide for Scotland, that brought about a free land. And so in this book, Wild at Heart by John Eldridge, he says this. He asks this question. Is Jesus more like Mother Teresa or William Wallace? Then he says, the answer is, it depends. Dramatic pauses for maximum impact. He says, if you're a leper, an outcast, a pariah of society whom no one has ever touched because you are unclean, if you have been ever longed for, if you've ever longed for one kind word, then Christ is the incarnation of tender mercy. He reaches out and he touches you. On the other hand, if you're a Pharisee, one of those self-appointed doctrine police, watch out. On more than one occasion, Jesus picks a fight with those notorious hypocrites. hypocrites. A little bit further on, he says, God has a battle to fight, and the battle is for our freedom. God has a battle to fight, and the battle is for our freedom. For many people, this is not the first image that comes to mind when we think about Jesus Christ. Let's whip through his life real quickly and see what we find. When Jesus was born, the people were trying to kill him. We sing songs about the three wise men. But really, Herod sent the wise men to go and find out where Jesus was. He said he wanted to go and worship the new king. But his motives were much more sinister. He felt threatened. And he wanted to go and kill Jesus. We know that Jesus was raised as a carpenter. If you know anything about carpentry, he didn't have a circular saw. He used a mallet and a chisel. That's probably a hand saw, a spoke shave, a plane, hand plane. I picture Jesus as quite a strong, in stature, person. It's an assumption. But the trade would have demanded that he work with his hands. I do a bit of carpentry. Okay, just... Oh, dear. Power tools. Oh, I love that. Amen. Oh, so blessing to have a congregation like this. There's a moment where he's fasting and he's taken out into the wilderness. And there's a battle that ensues between him and the evil one. And sure, it's not a physical battle, but physically, he's enduring a lot as he is attacked. Three times he's questioned. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. All this I'll give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Man does not live on bread alone. I'll not put the Lord my God to the test. I'll worship the Lord my God only. There's a battle that takes place in this moment of his life. If you read enough of Scripture, you'll find that he was often going at it with the religious leaders. Man, those religious leaders. What did he call them? He didn't use nice, polite words to their face. He used the words hypocrite, liar, brood of vipers, blind leaders of the blind, a wicked and adulterous generation. There's that moment where he comes into the temple and finds these people, the money changers and the money lenders and the market. And he has a bit of an issue with that. John 2:13-15. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. He makes a whip. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Not at this moment. At this moment, he's fashioning a whip and he's whipping people and throwing tables. Money is flying and people, I think, are fleeing. Have a sense. Jesus is strong. Jesus was strong in so many places. I wonder at this point why he didn't turn the other cheek. Seems like a bit of a contradiction, doesn't it? Maybe we need to re-examine some scripture. Jesus was strong. On more than one occasion, the religious leaders tried to kill him. They tried and tried and tried. Eventually, we know what happened. They did get it right. But many times, he was jumping in a boat and fleeing, leaving an area and going to another area. There's that moment where he's teaching and the religious leaders bring a woman caught in adultery and they throw her down. They have with them stones ready to stone this woman. She's caught in the act of adultery. What does the law require us to do? A crowd of people is gathering with stones. There's a woman and there's Jesus. He doesn't turn and flee. He doesn't try and evade the question. He stands firm, faces the people and says, "Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone." Then he kneels down and starts writing in the sand. Lots of speculation about what that was about. Somebody that I was reading said that they thought he might be writing down the sins of the people that might be standing in the crowd. We don't know. But he doesn't step away from this encounter. He doesn't run or flee. He stands firm and he says, "What are you going to do?" And we know the rest of the story. One by one, they drop those stones and they turn and leave. He doesn't shrink back when a crowd is angry. And there's that moment where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know he's going to be betrayed. And they come to arrest him. A large crowd of people coming for him. Cowards. They come at night. When he's alone with his disciples in the garden praying. What does he do here? He stands. And as somebody loses an ear, he heals that ear. But he stands firm. I don't know if a mob was coming to arrest me and they looked like that. I'm not sure if I'd be that brave. But Jesus was strong. He was strong. And after they've arrested him and he's going to be crucified, he's been convicted, they beat him. Mark 15:16-20. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. That is the praetorium. And called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns, set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Wow. Jesus was strong. Jesus was strong. He carried his cross. So a cross could weigh like over 100 kilograms. He might have carried the whole thing. We're not sure. If he just carried the crossbar, that's about 30 or 40 kilograms. He has to carry it 600 meters from where he's been beaten to where he's going to be crucified. John 19:16-17. So the soldiers took charge of him. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. We have an account where somebody helps him. Luke 23:26. As the soldiers led him away, they see Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, put the cross on him, made him carry it behind Jesus. I picture Jesus flagging because of the weight, because of the exhaustion from the beating, because of the anguish within his heart. But he doesn't stop. They have to find somebody to help him. And he goes to the cross. And then Jesus died. Luke 23:44-46. It was now about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. Crucifixion was one of the most cruel deaths that the Romans had found. To be crucified meant that you died because you couldn't breathe. You suffocated. Remember pictures of Jesus on the cross or pictures of people on crosses. Their arms are straight and hanging and their legs are normally slightly bent. And as they hang, the muscles in their ribs start to pull to support the weight. And as they pull, they force the air out of a person's lungs. And in order to breathe, he needs to push up on his legs just to release the pressure on those muscles and take a breath in. And that's why they come at the end when they want to stop the anguish and they break the person's legs. It's just a few minutes of hanging full weight on a person's rib cage that they can't breathe and they die of suffocation. Cruel way to die. Jesus was strong. He was strong. In Exodus 15, verse 3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Hebrews 10, 34. We find that God is a consuming fire. Psalm 29, 3 to 4. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Hebrews 4, verse 12. It's interesting how the Bible is compared to the sword. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we get this warning: be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The next slide, I've just changed the color of one word, made it bold: like. Enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. Because just in Revelation 5, verse 5, we read this: then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the true lion, majestic animal, powerful, feared, ferocious, vicious, strong. Lion of the tribe of Judah. So I've been saying quite a lot, Jesus was strong. Jesus was strong. Jesus was strong. And I'm hoping you're getting a little bit of a picture of Jesus, just a little bit different to what you might have been thinking when you arrived here today. I think Jesus is strong is also a good way to say it. He was strong as we read through the Word of God. But he is strong still today. His strength has not changed. He's still a strong and mighty warrior. He's strong to set captives free from sin. He's strong to take on the forces of evil. He's strong to work in our lives. He's strong to never leave us nor forsake us. He's strong to take us from depression to freedom. He's strong. What about us? Remember I said, well, depending on what image we have, is depending on how much we'll trust in Jesus Christ, how much we'll have faith in him, what we'll let him take or help us with. Well, I hope you're starting to see that he is gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He is loving, he is grace, he is mercy. But he's also strong. I worry sometimes that we don't have enough men in the church because we don't see Jesus as strong. Many men don't want to follow gentle Jesus, meek and mild. many men want somebody to follow like William Wallace. There's places where we need this image of Jesus Christ. At this time in our country, we need that image of Jesus Christ. Strong. Strong. Ephesians 6:10, back to the front of our cover. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. When you read those words now, I hope you're seeing be strong in the Lord in a slightly different sense. And when you read of His might, I hope you have a different picture to hang those words on. Jesus is powerful. He is strong. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. The Holy Spirit is with us. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You see that word power? That's the power that we have. That's the power that God is leading us into, that He wants us to walk in. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Strength. Power. Jesus is strong. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, I'm hoping that one thing we'll do is just say, wow, I see Jesus just a little bit differently this morning. But also in the place where we find ourselves as a country, we need to stand up and be strong. Men, we need to stand up against the injustices that are perpetrated against women, against vulnerable minorities in our communities. Not physically stand up. But you know there's places where we need to say, no, that's not funny. Or no, that's not right. Or no, that's not something that we say. Or no, we don't buy into that. When the crowd is standing, and it's easy to stand with the crowd, men, we need to say, no, we don't. We don't believe that. We don't follow that. We follow Jesus Christ, who is strong. Maybe there's places where you need to say things. Maybe there's places where you need to do things. We are strong. We need to pray with power. As you go to prayer, as you pray for your country, as you pray for people who don't know Jesus Christ, as you pray for the church, pray to gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but also pray to Jesus who is strong, who is strong. We need to defend the vulnerable and the woman. We need to stand up to injustice. We need to speak out in these dark times for our country. God has given us a different voice. We need to use that voice. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Let's pray. Mighty God and Heavenly Father, we worship You. Thank You that You are gentle Jesus, meek and mild, love and grace and mercy, but that You are so strong. As we pray, Lord, I pray that You will move in Your power and in Your might, Lord. Help us to be strong. Help us to be strong in the days ahead. Help us to be strong in the places where we need to be strong. Help us to say the things that need to be said. Call us to prayer for our country, Lord. Call us to what we need to be doing as a church. Thank You that You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that You have overcome sin, and that You rule and reign. Come in Your mighty power, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we're going to sing our song.